You guys excited for, well, I mean, first off, it's a Sunday. Again, we're having some great weather besides the rain, but hey, it's not cold, so I'll take that. My name is Dominic Raff. I'm the pastoral resident here. So we lead our youth ministry, our young adult ministry. We have a ton of fun. I love being a part of the staff on New Hope. Love being a part of the church congregation. I mean, come on, guys, we have a great church here. Can we get some applause on New Hope Church? Yeah. So I have the privilege and the honor to sum up basically everything that we've been learning in the Secrets to Thrive series. Have you guys been enjoying that yet? Have you guys been enjoying that? All right, you're going to notice with me, there's a lot of things that I do. I repeat myself a lot because I need us to understand some points, number one. Number two, I'm definitely big on engagement. So I'm going to be asking you guys some questions, and we're going to get real here. Another thing I need to mention, I tend to get very passionate. I'm not yelling at you, okay? But I will get passionate and loud sometimes, so just bear with me on that. But I get amped up on the Word of God. So let's dive in. I need to ask you guys a question. How many of you guys have heard of grafting? Any hands? Okay. So I was in the lawn care business since I was like 10 years old up until 21, and I never heard of grafting until I taught this lesson. So we're going to be talking about abiding, and grafting and abiding are the same thing here, and that's what we're going to look at. But to touch on grafting, I'm going to give you the definition. Grafting is an act of placing a portion of one plant into or on a stem, root, or branch of another in such a way that a union will be formed and the partners will continue to grow. All right, and we're going to have a picture of this, and we're going to break down the steps here. So Sean, go ahead and throw up the first one, please. So this is what you would do. Let's say you have a vine, okay? That's our vine there. You have a knife, and you're going to cut into the side of it. And then next picture, please, Sean. Then you're going to grab the branch that was on another tree, or maybe it was dying at some point, not completely dead, but dying, and then you're going to cut a pattern into that. Then, Sean, next one, please. Then you have your little opening, all right? Next one, Sean. And then you stick it in there. So we're getting this picture. You grab the branch, make it a part of that one, and then, Sean, last one, you seal it up. Okay, so if we're playing this through, let's say I'm a vine here, okay? You're going to be cut into, place right there, seal it up, all right? There's a little motion for you guys. So whenever you think of abiding, you're going to think of Dom doing a little move here, all right? So that's what grafting is, and it's basically abiding. And this is a beautiful picture of what Christ has done for us. And that's what we're going to dive into this morning. But grafting is abiding. Now, on your worship program, it might have a definition there. And abiding is to remain in Christ's love, to continue in his love, to pursue him, and to make him everything, make him your life source. Because when you're grafted into that vine, life is coming through that vine, and then it's being poured out into that branch. So do we have that picture? Give me a yes, Dom. Okay, great. I was a little concerned because for me, it took me a couple times. I'm like, what is this? So, all right. Let me ask you a question now. Do you want to thrive this year? A lot of us want to thrive this year. And I bet probably if you saw down the worship program, it said circle one, yes or no. You guys probably just circled yes right away. But do we actually want to thrive this year? And that's what we're going to talk about. If you have your Bible, you can open up to John 15, 1 through 11. Maybe you have it on your phone, but I'll also have it here on the screen. So John 15, 1 through 11. So before we dive into that, though, we need to talk about three roles that Jesus is going to place on him and on God and on us. So here's the three roles that are assigned in this passage. So Jesus is the vine. Say it with me. Jesus is the
vine.
Man, you guys are great. God is the vine dresser, which is like a gardener, basically. So God is the
vine dresser.
And then we are the branches. So we are the
branches.
I love it. Thank you guys so much. All right, so in these first three verses, Jesus is going to give a little preliminary to what he's talking about here in the next coming verses. So are you guys ready to move along? You guys understand the roles? Okay. So in verse 1 of John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. God's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So we're kind of seeing a picture here of like, hey, branches that bear fruit in him, great, they're pruned and then they produce even more, but those that aren't are taken away. So then in verse 3, we have a little disclaimer here to where Jesus says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Basically, Jesus saying, hey, before he speaks on this, he says, you're not perfect and you're not going to be perfect, but you're clean and you're saved because of me, not by deeds or anything that you do. So we don't teach good work salvation. It's not a, hey, if you produce these fruits, then, you know, you're definitely going to be saved and keep trying, and you're going to be perfect. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, hey, you're going to fail. But as long as you believe in me, as long as you make me everything in your life, as long as you make me king, then you're good to go. So let's dive into verse 4, all right? Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. Remain in my love, continue in my love, pursue me, make me everything, and I will abide in you. So if we get this picture of grafting, and Christ is saying to abide in him, well, grafting involves being cut into, as we've said, right? So beautiful picture about this is that if Christ is the true vine, and he's saying abide in me, graft into me, God the vine dresser had to cut into Christ so that we could have true life through him. So Christ went to the cross for us. Beaten, bruised, mocked, crown of thorns, whipped, and then was placed on a cross and was cut into so that we could experience true life through him. And what's even cooler about grafting is that there will be scars on the tree, and you can see where that branch was placed in. And there's some scars on my Savior right now, holes in his hands and his feet and his side, to prove that he died for us and he cut into himself so that we can experience true life through him. Isn't that great? Already starting off with a banger here. Can I get a yes, Dom? All right. So then we see, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So he's going to repeat himself. And if Jesus repeats himself, we should already be listening, but it's like, hey, listen up. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So it sounds like Jesus is trying to tell us something here, that you can't bear fruit, you can't do anything without Christ. Are you guys seeing that picture? So if that's the case, what is this fruit he's even talking about? Like, are we talking about apples, oranges? What are we talking about here? Well, if you go and you look at verses 12 through 17, which we aren't going to be covering today, but please read through that because it's amazing. But to summarize that, Jesus tells us to love one another as he's loved us, telling us to lay down our lives for each other to the point of death. He chose to love us, and he even goes to call us that he wants to call us friends. And the power of that, no matter how much we hurt Christ, no matter how much we run from Christ, he pursues us and he wants to call us friends. So the fruits that are produced in this context are love, obedience, joy. If we look at verses 12 through 17, those are some fruits that come out of abiding in Christ. But I also think it can speak to a deeper truth as well, because when we abide in Christ, we see some fruits from Galatians 5. And if you have your Bible, turn to Galatians 5, 22 through 25. And this is the fruits of the Spirit. I'm a big fan of the fruits of the Spirit. Apparently, there was a song. I never heard that song growing up, but I just had to memorize it just straight, which wasn't fun, but I guess I'll make a song to it at some point. But with Galatians 5, 22 through 25, it touches on the fruits of the Spirit. So here's some fruits that will be produced. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, check it. It doesn't say Dominic produces this fruit. It doesn't say the teaching team produces this fruit. It doesn't say that you produce this fruit. What does it say, church? But the produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, here's the fruit that's produced. Everyone say with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you guys could use a lot more love in your life right now? A lot more peace? Patience? Come on, that preaches to me right there. Patience. So those are the fruits that are produced if we abide in Christ. It goes to say in verse 24 that those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who abide in Christ Jesus, those who make Christ absolutely everything in their lives and look to him for everything, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. So they've taken all of Dominic's wants and desires and what he wants to get out of life and what he goes to for comfort, and we nail it on the cross with Christ, and we go to him as our comfort. We abide in him. We look for his will, his passion, his desires. So then it says, since we are living by the Spirit, since we are abiding in Christ, let us follow the Spirit's leading in some part of our lives. Every. You can't abide if it's not in every part of your life, friends. In every part of our lives. So hold fast to remain in Christ. And so those that remain in Christ will have the Holy Spirit inside of them, and the Spirit will produce much fruit because of Christ's love as the trunk, the source of everything. And we'll touch on that here in a second. But apart from him, I'm going to be straight. I don't think that you can experience real love. I don't think you can experience real peace. Well, Dominic, how can you say that? Okay, we have some married folk in the room. Is your spouse perfect? Elbows. No, we're always good. Like, no one can ever love perfectly. We can't do it unconditionally perfectly all the time. And hey, maybe your finances are great and your kids are doing really great in school and you have some peace in your life right now. But if that was taken away, if the money was gone, if your kids went off the rails for some reason, started acting crazy, would you still have peace or no? I don't think we can experience any real love, peace, joy, unless it's within Christ. Because without him, you're always going to have this fruit that feels good, but it's going to fade, rot, and decay at the end of the day because it's not connected to a life source. A lot of us are connected to the boyfriend that's not leading you towards Christ, or the wife, or the bank account, or something else that gives you life. When it's not sustainable, it's temporary, it can be taken away, and it can fail you. And plus, it would be exhausting to have to constantly love on someone, to have to constantly serve someone. Listen, I was in the McDonald's drive-thru the other day, and I just wanted a hot fudge sundae. You guys know what I'm talking about? And like how it's hot, and then you like have to scrape the side of the cup with the ice cream. You know what I'm talking about? But there's this person in front of me, and they're ordering like 82 McDoubles. I'm like, what is going on? Like, what is taking so long up there? And my patience over a stupid little thing was just gone. Isn't that not ridiculous? But that's how easy it is. It would be exhausting to have to constantly produce it ourselves unless it comes from a different source. Unless it comes from the trunk of Christ's love. So for instance, let's pretend I'm a vine here, okay? There's the roots down there. This is Christ's love as the trunk, okay? And here we are. We're abiding, we're grafting, doing a little bit of this, all right? So let's say I get mad at my best friend, for instance. I get mad and I'm like, you know what? They should have done this for me, blah, blah, blah. But then if I'm abiding in Christ, I'm reminded of Christ's love. I'm like, man, Christ died for me. And he laid down his life for me and he constantly pursues me no matter what. Fruit, boom, because I'm reminded of Christ's love. Man, you know, I'm just really going through the storm right now and I don't really know what to do, but Christ says he's always with me. Fruit. You guys get in this picture? It's from Christ's love. That's the trunk right there. And I would love to see you guys, if you guys ever get in an argument with each other, you guys just do one of these. It's like, I'm going to love you no matter what, you know? All right. So we can have fun. So here's one of your first points. If you want to thrive, you have to abide. If you want to thrive, you have to abide. Now here's Dom repeating himself. Actually, we're all going to do this together. If you want to, you have to. Because here's what happens. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. That's what happens if you're not abiding. Basically, you're just good for nothing. You just wither, die, thrown into the fire, burned. So let me ask this question. Would you rather be thriving, being pumped full of life, or a dead stick with no hope, but decaying and being good kindling to be burned up? Or you could be a part of a beautiful tree that provides shade for the broken, that produces fruit for their friends and loved ones, and you're refreshed just blowing in the wind. So close your eyes real quick. We're gonna do some imagination. All right, eyes closed. I'm gonna try to make this as peaceful as possible. All right. So you're in the house. You just got done cleaning up your house, vacuum, dusting, all that. It's a beautiful sunny day, and it's warm. And you're like sitting by the window, and the sun's hitting you, and you're sprawling out like a cat. And the windows are open, and you just hear, just blowing. And then you look out your window, and there's this beautiful big willow tree. There's a willow tree in my backyard in Indianapolis, and it was beautiful. And I would look at it, we'd climb up it, I'd fall down it. That's the way I am today. And then we just stare at it. You can add a river by it. It looks so peaceful, so beautiful. Now open your eyes. I never looked out my window and saw a dead stick on the ground. It was like, dude, that's beautiful. No one ever does that. But so many of us are like branches that, you know, we just want to feel something. We want to feel known. We want to experience peace. We want to experience joy. And it makes me think back to my time in Indianapolis. A couple months ago, I was able to go back to Indianapolis, and I was able to sit down with some friends for dinner. And as we were talking, my friends were telling me what's going on in their life. Hey, man, what's going on? And they were talking about, hey, this one guy started a business. It's thriving. It's going really great. Bought a nice new car. He has this awesome new girlfriend. Then my other friend, he's succeeding in his job, promotion. Again, new car. Nice. And my friends had it all. Like, for me, back then, I would have thought that's thriving, man. Those guys have everything. The girls, money, popularity, fame, all of it. But then at the end of that conversation, they followed it up with, yeah, but Dom, I don't know what it is. I just have so much anxiety. Dom, I don't know what it is, man, but I've been the most depressed I've ever been, and I thought about suicide. Yeah, but you have it all, right? By the world's standard, you have it all, and you're thriving, and you're truly living. And that's what I used to chase, but I found that when I surrendered all that truly living to Christ and gave my life to Him, abided in Him, I no longer wanted those things because I'm truly living in Christ. Now I'm experiencing true love. I'm experiencing self-control, joy, peace beyond imagine. I mean, come on. Who would want anxiety and depression over experiencing some joy and peace? But God's offering true life to all of us, and all you have to do is abide in Him. Man, you want that peace? Abide. You want that joy? Abide. You want that self-control? Abide. But anyone that doesn't just withers up and dies, basically. You never experience life. You never experience joy to the fullest. You never experience miracles. But we continue to look to the girls, the guys, the money, the work to fill this void and continue to feel empty, sad, and hurt. And then this is how, okay, at New Hope Church, you know we're real. And we hold each other accountable. And before I say this to myself first. Some of us think that we're abiding in Christ when we are nowhere near it. Let that sink in. Some of us think we're abiding in Christ when we're nowhere near it. Because if you asked me 2 years ago when I was living in complete sin, hey, do you love Christ? I'd be like, yeah, man. I mean, He's a good Father. You know, I'd be going nuts on that hour on Sunday. But I didn't live like it. I didn't live like it, but it's so easy to come to church. It's so easy to, you know, throw up our hands in worship and pretend or have like feel like we're abiding in Christ when we're not doing it. A lot of us aren't going to Christ for the answers. We're not going to Him for life. We go, again, to whatever else we're connected to, the comfort of the bank account, the porn, the best friend, the distractions, and they don't want to see us grow, and they're not providing life to the fullest. And they can take us down these paths that lead to darkness, ultimate destruction. So here's another point here. If you aren't abiding, you aren't thriving. Say with me, if you aren't, you aren't. Guys, if you want to be filled up, if you want to experience miracles and you want to see your life change and your friend's life change, all you have to do is abide in him and you can ask for anything you want. Check it. Look, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. All right, new Mercedes, come on now. Psych? That's not what it's about. Because I found that the more that I abide in Christ, the more that we abide in Christ, the less we care about the new car, the less we care about the salary, the less we care about our clothes, but the more we care about seeing people come to Christ, the more we care about seeing, man, God reveal himself in our lives to where it's like, God, give me the love to put through this, to put on this person that's really grinding my gears right now. God, give me the peace in this storm. God, give me the kindness through this hurt. That's the type of prayers that we pray, and those will be answered. And it'll be glorifying God. Then in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Really interesting. It proves that you're a disciple if you're bearing fruit. Another thing, it also proves that God is real when you're bearing fruit. Because some of us, you know, we've been through some trials and stuff, and then people will come and be like, man, like, dude, you were going through a really tough time. How'd you get that peace? And it's like, well, it's only through Christ. Man, like, you used to be so down in the dumps. Man, what happened? I don't know. I found joy in Christ. And we're able to point people back to Christ, point people back to God. So it's not only proving that we're disciples, it's proving that God is real. Because we point them and say, hey, you can have peace, you can have love, you can have patience, you can have self-control in Christ. But again, let me do a quick check yourself moment. Tell your neighbor to check yourself real quick. If you're not producing any of these fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you're not abiding in Christ. And Christians in this room, don't be quick to say, oh, I got it down. Yep, I'm great. We should be the first ones to say, man, I don't know. Man, I really need to work on some things because I'm not producing the most amount of love that I can. I'm not letting the Holy Spirit work through me in that way. We need to check ourselves on that. Dominic needs to check himself on that daily. And then here's, okay, every verse blows me away. So if I repeat myself, this blows me away, I promise, it blows me away every time, okay? But verse 9, check this. As the Father has loved me. So hold on. Jesus is saying, as God has loved me. Can we even comprehend that? Can we even grasp that? That God, the love that God has for his son, and Jesus saying, hey, as God has loved me, something you can't even comprehend or you can't even grasp, so have I loved you. We can't grasp it. We cannot comprehend it. And God's saying, dude, I love you just as God loves me. Abide in my love. Don't abide in me because I'm a dictator, I'm a ruler, and I don't want you to, you know, I want you to have a terrible life. Abide in me because I love you so much that you can't even understand, that you can't even grasp. Why? Why would you do that, Jesus? Could you at least say, hey, just as God has loved me, I love you a little bit less than that. But he's saying, no, I love you the same amount. Because of that love, abide in him. He wants to pump you full of love. He wants to pump you full of guidance, comfort, experiences, miracles, power. He's full of love for us. And for those of us that are parents in this room or you want to be a parent, and you're looking at having kids, we want what's best for our children, right? We don't want them to experience pain, hurt, be lost. Now imagine the love of a perfect father. It doesn't even owe it to us. Come on now. Give me an amen on that, church. He's just asking for us to love him and trust him enough to abide in him. Now to have a little bit more fun, because in verse 10 it gets interesting. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, if you obey him, you're abiding. Now, that obedience process, it might be painful sometimes. Obeying doesn't sound like fun to a lot of us. And it might be painful sometimes, but that's when the pruning comes in. And actually, the Greek translation is cleansing. And as we saw earlier, that when you start producing fruit, as the Holy Spirit starts producing fruit within you, God prunes you and cleanses you and finds other ways to make you grow. So that means, church, you're going to have to sacrifice some things. You're going to have to sacrifice that selfish mindset. You're going to have to sacrifice that temporary satisfaction, that relationship that's not leading you to Christ, that smart remark to your parents, that job, impressing your Facebook friends. You have to sacrifice things that leave you empty and broken basically at the end of the day, and you gain true life. I don't see anything wrong with this trade-off. Do you, church? But why? Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to obey? Because we want what we want. Like, let me ask this. Like, when's the last time that you didn't give in to sin? Like, when's the last time, an urge came to do, something, say something smart, and you just said, no. Not going to. And you have to stand there with fist clenched. You're like, no, I'm not going to click on that site because I know that God wants what's best for my marriage and he died for me and wants me to experience true life through him and he's a loving God and I'm just not going to do it. Or when's the last time that, you were dealing with some financial struggles real quick, but God really placed it on your heart to give to someone and you were just kind of struggling with that. You're like, God, I know you grant peace and I'm just going to trust you in this. When's the last time we stood there with fist clenched? And we said, enough is enough. I'm going to obey because I trust that God knows what's best for me, even when I don't see it. But that's where we lose people. In the sacrifice part, you lose people in the obedience because it doesn't sound fun or an awesome way to live. That's what it ultimately comes down to, I feel like. But in verse 11, again, I'm going to say it blows me away. Because these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is for joy. You will have joy in doing this, that my joy may be in you. This isn't man, I really want to do this, and that stinks. We're going to pout like babies, when in reality, this is freeing you up to experience true life, to have joy, to thrive. To thrive, church. And again, who are we? Who is Dominic Raffa that Christ would do that for me? Christ in his love cut into himself so that we can take part in not only an amazing temporary life, but an incredible eternal life. Come on. So Dom, what are you trying to say? I thought I was living when I was, when I was doing my thing. I was getting money, I was buying cars, chasing popularity, but I was empty. And I bet a lot of us have felt that same way too. Maybe you're in that place right now, you feel empty. But when we give up everything to pursue Christ and learn what it means to abide in him, you know what? I had to go through the painful process of pruning out sexual sin. I had to go through the painful process of pruning out materialism and greed and pride. And you know what? We're still working on that. We're still working on things, and it's going to take a lifetime for some of us to prune out certain things in our life that God's going to be working in us. But that's just how it is. That's the process we go through, and we can do that as a church together, but you truly live. By the grace of God, you can experience life to the fullest and all that. But on our end, though, we have to make that constant effort to take the first step to say you no longer want to be dead, but you want to abide and you want to experience life. So we need to stop going to that significant other that's bad for you. Some of us need to work on our marriages. Some of us need accountability partners. Some of us need to get rid of that social media app. Some of us need internet blockers. But all of us, church, say all of us, need to give up something that we've been holding on to that's taken us away from Christ. And it might be painful for a moment, but through Christ and his power, he will give you a life that will blossom into a beautiful tree that glorifies him. Not saying your problems are going to go away, but you'll attack it in a different way. So why should we abide? If that wasn't it for you, I mean, I know a lot of us are going through hard, confusing times right now. A lot of the students will come to me and we'll have these conversations that are hard. Man, our students are going through a lot. Please pray for our students. But we'll have these conversations. It's like, man, this person hurt me. Or, man, I'm really struggling with this and dealing with this. But I think I found my answer, even for myself, to every situation. Are you abiding in Christ right now? Because the cure is abiding. As a church body, we can abide. We can watch miracles happen. We can see lives change. We can see peace come over us, and we can see Christ be glorified in that. So as I move to this time of application, I know you still got, like, what, two things? I promise I'm almost done, okay? But I'm going to pray real quick as we go into this time of application. It's going to be a little bit of a longer application. You guys still with me? All right, let's pray real quick. Father, just really work right now. You've been preparing our hearts, and I pray that we have teachable hearts, myself included, God, for what you have for us. We want to be a people that's willing to sacrifice and give up what we're holding on to experience you in a completely changed way because of your grace. Father, continue to speak as we dive deeper. In Christ's name, amen. All this comes down to John 14:15. If you don't know it, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey me. Church, if you love me, you will obey me. So I think this goes to a point here to where if you aren't obeying, you aren't abiding. Church, if you aren't, say it, you aren't. Again, here's another hard truth that I have to check myself with. I say this to myself. Do me a favor, real quick. Don't say, Dominic, don't say you love God and live like you could give a crap about him. Don't say you love God and live like you don't even care about him. Because you're not only hurting yourself, Dominic, you're not only hurting yourself, but you're hurting the church body and whole. Because, wow, Christians act like that, and they love God. So let me put it this way. Let's say I have a wife, right? I'm single, but let's say I have a wife, okay? I'm not like, okay, like this is not like, hey, I'm single, okay? No. All right, let's say I have a wife, right? You guys are too funny. All right. And let's say, all right, hey, I love my wife. I'm all about my wife. You know, love her to death. She's great. She's awesome. And I only spent 1 hour with her on a Sunday. But the rest of the time, I didn't talk with her. I didn't text her. I didn't take her on date nights. I didn't get to know her. And I cheated on her constantly. Do I love my wife, church? But we're going to say that about God Almighty? Come on, we're going to say that about God. Guys, we're motivated by Christ's love to abide in him, to pursue him, because he calls you friend. He laid his life down for you. He wants you to experience joy in life. And like, what other person that's been cheated on a million times constantly pursues that person and shows him love and says, hey, I want what's best for you? No one else other than Christ. So how do you abide? Three easy things. You can write these down. I didn't place them on there. Three easy things. One, spend time in the Word. In church, I'm going to be real with you. If my junior hires can do it, you can do it too. There's no excuses. Come on. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. It's the second one. Just spend time talking with them, being real with them. And then the third one, be part of a community of believers. Go to small groups, man. Check it out. It's really fun. Sunday services, keep coming here. Find a growth class to join, equip, that's awesome. Serving opportunities. Because this is going to be a painful journey sometimes, but that's why we have each other. That's why we have a community. So maybe you want that peace, that joy, that love. You can find true life in Christ today. He went through the pain of the cross because the vine dresser loved you so much he cut into his son so you can grow and blossom and point back to him. And are we going to waste that? So then I believe this is the last one. If you aren't abiding, you aren't thriving, just surviving. If you aren't abiding, you aren't thriving, just surviving. And who likes to just survive? So I'm going to be honest, you won't last long. Thrive in Christ, abide in Christ, start the year off right. Man, if you've been a Christian for a while and you claim to have a relationship with Christ and you're not seeing any fruits, man, I would love to pray with you. We're going to have the prayer team in the back near the couches, and I would love to pray with you. We would love to pray with you. And just really attack the heart of what's going on there. Just like Pastor Tim taught last week on repentance, we don't repent and turn to God because we're scared of hell. We repent and turn to God because of the kindness that he's displayed on us. No matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing or what we're going to do, he wants us, and he wants us to experience true life, and he has the scars to prove it. Thank you, God, for wanting what is best for me, even when I don't. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to read from Psalms 1, 1 through 4. I'm going to invite the worship team up. And I'm going to read Psalms 1, 1 through 4. And just really soak in what's being said here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is the man that doesn't listen to the world, that doesn't take advice from the world or fall into the world or their sinful passions or desires, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And on Christ's teaching, and in Christ's love, he remains and meditates on it, gets blown away by it every single day. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. He thrives. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. So keep those eyes closed real quick and really think. And then at the end of this, there's another, are you actually wanting to thrive question? But are you actually wanting to thrive? Are you actually wanting to give up something to experience true life and experience Christ? That's what it's all about. Are we actually going to abide and prosper and experience true life, or let ourselves fade away, overcome by that anxiety, that fear, that stress, that grudge, that past, that pain, that hurt, that work, that addiction, that food, whatever it may be, because it's never going to fulfill you the way Christ can fulfill you. So remain in Christ's love, continue in his love, and pursue him with everything. Make him king of your life today. Make him your go-to. Make him your life source. Make him everything. And again, if you want to make that decision, I'll be in the back and some of our prayer team will be too. And again, if you've been following Christ, but man, you haven't been abiding, I'd love to pray with you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you would cut into yourself, that we can experience you. You don't care about what we've done. You don't care about anything like that. You just want us. For some reason that I can't even comprehend or understand, but that's not my job. But I just want to embrace you. I want to love you, God. This church body wants to love you, and I pray you reveal yourself to us, and you give us the strength to obey, the strength to abide. That's all motivated by your love, God. To where it's not about just experiencing insane amount of peace or love just for us, but to display on other people as well, to glorify you. So Holy Spirit, be with us as we process this. You're a good Father, God. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.